Hi, hello. Welcome to the Dirty Rabbit Hole podcast. I'm Michael Foreman, author. Yes, hi again. It's Michael Foreman, author, calling to you all the way from the Dirty Rabbit Hole podcast on a very isolated beach not far away from where I usually do my podcasts. I'm a dark fiction author, and I write about sexless marriages, which is why I have this podcast. Now, I sometimes talk about my book, but very often I talk about the subject of sexless marriages. Today I'm going to do it here right on the beach. I'd normally do it from home, but there's some noise going on over there, and we've had some pretty wild weather of late, stuck indoors, so I thought I might come down to the beach, and perhaps this calming sound of waves will bring some peace into your life. If you've got a sexless marriage, you're probably suffering. I've been there, I've done that, I know what it feels like. When I was the most depressed, I used to come down to the beach, I would fish or just take a walk, sit in the sunshine, take in some energy, positive energy, and do what's called grounding, although I didn't know it at the time. Grounding is where you take your shoes off and make contact with the ground, not concrete, not paving and stones, man-made things, but actually with the earth. Apparently there's some positive ions that humans pick up in their feet and makes you feel better. I don't know whether that's true, but I know that when I wanted to feel better, I'd often take my shoes off and go down to the beach for a walk or a fish, and I would end up feeling somewhat better. It didn't change my life as far as sex was concerned, but it gave me a much more positive mindset on how to deal with it. And to be quite frank, I didn't deal with it very well, but I used a lot of things at my disposal to try and overcome the depression that occurred when I was in that sexless marriage. And I say in that sexless marriage because it's now past tense. We got divorced a long time ago, and ever since that happened, things got better. And I ended up meeting a new person a few years later, and we have been together ever since, and the sex is just perfect. And that's what it's all about, really, isn't it? If you're going to spend your life with someone, you've got to be able to be sexually compatible with them. Don't you agree? Especially if you live in the world of monogamy, or you believe in monogamy. Monogamy is good for some things, but not great for all things. Monogamy and monopoly are very similar sounding words. I've always felt that the person who wants sex the least in the relationship has a monopoly on the sex. So monogamy and monopoly can have similar meanings, or at least have an overlapping meaning. And my former relationship, my partner had control of the sex to the point where we didn't have sex at all. And we never had children. Maybe you have children now and you can't get out of your marriage. I have full sympathy for you and your situation. I wish you all the best in your future. I don't know how you get out of it. You either accept things for what they are, or you make a change. And change is going to be hard. It doesn't matter which way you look at it, it's going to be hard. My simple solution to my situation, well, the first attempt at doing it, was trying to overcome the depression. The next thing that I did to overcome the feeling was have an affair. And both of them together worked very well, but for short periods of time. And inevitably, it can do your head in, because you know that you're cheating on your spouse and you don't like that. You wish it was not happening. And although you become very brave and tough, or you think you do, eventually the lying and the cheating does your head in. And it did for me, and I couldn't sustain it. But then I had to go back to a marriage that was loveless and colourless, really, and definitely sexless. Is that where you were at the moment? Did you get laid last week? What about the week before? It's about 3 to 4 weeks between each of these podcast tracks that I put together. maybe you heard a few of them in the past. If you're one of those people who heard the last one, did you get laid since then? I mean, with your spouse. Oh, yes. Yes. You have to laugh at everything, don't you? Because otherwise, the things that you look at are... A lot of them are sad. So I try to find humor in the things, even the smallest things. Yes, I'm assuming that you're having sex with your partner. Let's use that as a default setting for this part of the discussion. Well, if you didn't, I'm sorry to hear that. Why didn't it happen? Was there no opportunity? Did you not initiate? Did your partner not initiate? Or if you initiated, were you rejected? Is that what happened? And was it a flat-out rejection, or was it much more passive in the sense that that person walked away or didn't reply or just shrugged their shoulders? How was their love language in comparison to what you expected? And how did that make you feel afterwards? Did you feel rejected, disappointed, frustrated, angry? Or all of the three, or all of the four, and more, really, because you can feel a multitude of emotions after being rejected. Feel even foolish for asking in the first place. Makes you want to stop asking in the second place. In fact, asking makes it feel so small, makes you feel so small. Having to ask. Remember when you guys started dating? In most cases, it kind of all worked. When I read the stories of how people became sexless, quite often they weren't sexless to start with. They were amorous. And the situation was pretty hot. They were hot stuff. They held hands, they gazed into each other's eyes, and they had hot, passionate, romantic sex. What happens that makes us change? If you have an answer to that, as these waves crash on around me, drop me a message here at the podcast, or come to my website at michaelformanwriting.com and look me up there, because I'm always interested to hear what answers people come up with. It doesn't have to be a right or a wrong one, just one that you feel should be right. I don't have an answer for everyone, and each of us are in our own different situations. For mine, it started out with celibacy and then expanded to a sexless marriage. My former spouse was highly religious, and therefore we had to maintain a celibate relationship for the period, the dating period, all the way up to the wedding day, basically. And it wasn't easy, but eventually we got hitched, and the habits that we got and developed before the marriage are what we took into the marriage, and it never got any better. If you've read my book, Seethings, you'll know more and more about the background of my situation. It's a novel. It's pseudo-biographical. Pseudo-biographical. So some parts of it are really true and some parts of it are totally made up. And you'll have to read it and decide which is real and which isn't real. But if you're in a sexless marriage, you'll be able to figure out which is real right away, because you'll be able to relate with so much of the content. That's called Seethings. And you can download a free copy at the moment download a free copy of Seethings from smashwords.com. Type in the words S-E-E-T-H-I-N-G-S. And it's all yours. You can have a read on any of the mobile devices you currently have. Could be an iPad, a Kindle, Kobo, even your phone. It's ready for you right now. You can slip across to smashwords.com. And then drop me a line and tell me what you think about the story. Tell me about how many times a year you don't get sex, or you do get sex. They say that 10 times a year or less is regarded or considered to be a sexless marriage. Now, that doesn't work for everyone because, frankly, as you get a bit older, in your 60s and your 70s and your 80s, it's very well known that people have less and less sex, and 10 times a year might actually be 9 times more than what you're capable of doing physically. And excuse me here, I'm just going to have a sneeze. oh, see, it's real, played in real time. I haven't even edited the sneeze out. Normally in the studio, I'm able to edit out bits and pieces of my gobbledygook and sneezes and coughs and bird chirps and the cat meows and when the kettle boils and the fridge switches on. But I can't do it at the moment because the waves give you a constant background noise, and you would know the differences between an edited version and the original raw version. Okay, so you get my sneeze as well. Sneeze is a bit like an orgasm, isn't it? You know, you can feel it coming and feels quite pleasurable afterwards, and it's like a big burst of energy in the middle of it. At least that's the way I see it. Maybe you've got a different idea. I don't mind a good sneeze here and there, just like I don't mind a very good sexual session for the very same reasons. All right, well, that's about it for me and the podcast this week. I don't know where I'll find you next, probably 3 or 4 weeks' time. I'll come up with a proper topic by that stage, no doubt. This week was just more of a case of getting out of the house and doing a podcast in a completely different location to hear how it sounds. Now, it's in stereo, so if you're listening on headphones, you'll be able to hear this ocean crashing around me all through the chatter. It's a little bit sunny, but it's still quite overcast because we've got more storms and rain forecast in the future. Maybe your relationship is pretty much the same thing, overcast and predicting storms in the future. I really wish that you could change your future so you didn't have to look at that and you end up with more sunny days. Since I left my wife and got divorced, my days have been sunnier. Sure, there have been some good ones and some bad ones in between, but for the majority, it's been a sunny day. I wish you a sunny day. But at the end of my podcast, I always say, just remember, it can always rain on your parade. I'll see you later. Thank you.